It's working. It's on.
It's just a man not knowing how to operate that stuff.
All right. Galatians chapter 3. That's you know, I was coming over here. I wanted we're nowhere making the progress that I thought we'd be making through Galatians, but what I wanted to do is just to make sure we are following Paul along as he gives the information, because if one of the best things that you can get in your mind is the objective of the letter. And if you get the objective of the letter, some of the things that maybe we don't understand right away, it will fall into place as you go on. So Paul's objective to the Galatians was, it was to correct them for being put under a performance again. Under the law, because God had removed the law. As a matter of fact, it's stronger than that. Paul says God had abolished the law. You know what abolished mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Can you give us the scripture where he says he abolished the law?
That's Colossians. Colossians 2, verse, I believe it's 13. 2. Well, this 2:14, this is Colossians 2:14, says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I think it maybe is Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 says, yeah, that's it. Ephesians 2 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the strong hatred, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So he has removed it from us, the law, abolished the law. Isn't it good to know you don't have to perform to please God? That's something that was settled 2,000 years ago, but we still hadn't figured out how to stop performing for God to try to win God's approval. But anyway,
our DNA being from Adam.
Oh, no doubt. The flesh always.
So it's in us. It's that old man until it's.
He's got the flesh. He's got to. Flesh is flesh. He's selfish. He has to perform. He has to be seen. He has to
brag.
You know, it's a scripture in Proverbs that says this. We'll get back to this in a minute. It says, it is not, saith the buyer. But when he goeth his way, he maketh his boast. You know, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. And as soon as he goes away, he's like, "You see what I did? You see that? That was great, wasn't it?" Well, that's what the flesh is. As a matter of fact, I'll be off on another subject. Galatians. So what Paul does is he wants to remind the Galatians what happened when they trusted Christ. They were completely freed from any type of performance for salvation. Did you know when you trusted Christ, you were completely freed from any type of performance for salvation? Did you know that?
I believe
so. Okay. So that's why we went back to Abraham. Did Abraham perform? Last week we looked at Abraham. Did he perform for God to impute righteousness to him?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do?
Believe.
He believed what?
What God called him.
Huh?
believed God.
He believed God. What did God tell him?
He was going to make the nation.
He promised him, right, he would be his seed, right, would be.
That's singular.
Right. His seed would be a blessing, right? A nation, seed would be a blessing. Actually, I'm going to use this because it's connected, actually. So I'm right. All these things, what Abraham received.
For the home audience, you might say that you're writing on the board.
Oh, yeah, that's, well, you know what? The home audience, they'll have. Abraham was promised to be a blessing, a nation, right? Mm-hmm. He was promised that his seed would be a blessing. He was imputed righteousness by God just by believing. He was promised an inheritance. And inheritance is the land that Abraham was promised. Okay? And this is connected with, and his seed would be heirs to that promise. Okay? So all these are key words when you get into it, as we go into it. But how did he get all this?
By faith.
He got it by what? He got it by faith. He didn't get any of these blessings by works. Not one. Not one. That's why God said the promise is sure. So when you trust Christ, he's trying to tell you, he said, it's sure. Because what does it have to do with you? Look at Romans 3. Galatians 3.
3 what?
3. And just to rehearse a little bit, he says, verse 3. 3:3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And then he drops Abraham on us. He says, even as Abraham worked for God, and it was... Even as Abraham what?
Believed
God, and it, his belief, was accounted or imputed to him for righteousness. Now, know ye therefore. Three big words. He's saying, don't you know this? Because what Abraham got, don't you know this? He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, he said the scripture preached before to Abraham. That was Genesis 15. When God says, I will bless you. I will make you your seed, a multitude as the stars of the sky. And he said, count the stars if you can tell them. And Abraham couldn't count them. He said, so shall thy seed be. Okay, I didn't want to go back, but let's go back once, just one more. Genesis 15. Now, I want you to put yourself back here. Transport yourself back, and you are standing right there with Abraham. Okay? Try to make this a little more, like Paul said, evidently set forth among you. I want you to visualize this. 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" So Abraham's, he realizes that when God said he's going to reward him, he's thinking what?
Huh? Right now.
Right now? And he says, without what? Without what? You just said it.
With an heir.
Without an heir? What did you say, James?
With the son.
With not just a son. He says, "What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" He's saying, how can you reward me, God? He says, I've got nothing to pass on. I've got nothing to pass on to anybody. Mm-hmm. Abraham's all the way back to Genesis. He remembers this, or we're in Genesis, to 12, when he's promising him the land, a seed. And the guy keeps telling them, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you." And he's going through life and he didn't have any children. He says, "I'm going to make you a great nation." And he's going through and he says, "Man, I heard him, but I don't even have a son yet." He says, I just got this, my steward. So can you see Abraham, why he would ask God, "What are you going to give me, seeing I don't have a son?" He knows he's old. He's getting older. But he doesn't know what God has planned for him. He waits till Abraham is what?
100 years old.
100 years old. He's, because I don't want you thinking that you had anything to do with this.
Old daddy.
Old daddy. Okay. Are we there? Okay. And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he what?
Believed
in the Lord. And he counted it to him for what?
Righteousness.
For righteousness. So, God promised Abraham a multitude as the stars. And Abraham just said what? Okay, I believe it. And his belief, it was imputed to him for righteousness. All right, back to Galatians. What did he do? What did Abraham do? What else?
He had faith.
What else?
He said and waited on God.
Right. What else?
He got a little anxious, I think, and he got the maid, right?
Well, that was after the fact. But when God pronounced him righteous, what did he do?
Thank the Lord.
What did Abraham do?
He didn't do what he was supposed to.
Well, he did. I'm saying when God pronounced him righteous, what did Abraham do to be pronounced righteous?
Believe.
What else?
He got baptized.
Nothing.
I'm trying to trip you up. I want you to say nothing. He didn't do anything else. I want you to be sure, because what else? He didn't do anything else. The scripture said it. He believed God and it was imputed to him for what?
Righteousness.
He's standing right there and he's righteous. Okay, back to Genesis or Galatians. Now, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, verse 8, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So then, just like he got it, if you believe, you Galatians, then you get it just like he got it. How did he get it? Just by believing. How do you get it? Plus what?
Nothing.
Okay. Now, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, if you want to get under the law, Paul says, if you get under the law, you're under the what?
Curse.
You're under the curse. And he says, well, and he says, he says, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now look at Deuteronomy. I think it's Deuteronomy 26. 27, 26. Okay. Just for reference, 27, 26. Now, and when Moses gets the law, and when you go through from 27 to 30, all the law does, matter of fact, you got 27? You got Deuteronomy?
27th chapter.
You got Deuteronomy 27?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to kind of skip through here. Verse 1. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying what?
Keep all of the commandments.
Keep what?
All.
How many?
The.
All the commandments which I command you this day. Look at verse 8. Drop down to verse 8. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priest, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, Benjamin, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. First thing is what?
Curse.
Curse. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. What does the law do?
Curse.
He know they won't keep this. Verse 28 or chapter 28, he says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe and to do how many?
All
his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then he goes through the blessings. Look at 28:15. But it shall come to pass, If thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then he goes through the curses again. Now, that's when he finishes. What verse do we have in that? 27, you said? 27?
No,
26.
27. Chapter
27. Yeah. He said, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law to do them, and all the people shall say. So they agreed, you know what? We can do it all. And Paul is saying back in Galatians, he said nothing's changed with God. The same requirement that he gave to Israel, it still exists for any person who wants to get under the law. He didn't lax his requirement over the years. You know, as far as parents, I would say, you all who have reared children, the oldest ones, they might look at the younger ones and says, we could never get away with that. Mm-hmm. Why did you let him do that? And we never could do that. Because you laxed over the years. But God is saying, I don't lax. When it comes to my righteousness, I started off this way. And if you want to get under the performance, it stays the same. There's no loopholes with God. So you can't say, they kept the law. They didn't keep the law. You wanted them to do all the law. And he'll still say, and I still want it all done. Well, James said this, if a man offend in one point, he's guilty of what?
All.
Because God's justice won't let him lax. Yeah. How could God love us so much, but yet he'll put the law and says, if you don't keep this law.
But he don't put the law on you. You put it on yourself.
And this is getting at what the Galatians should get. I think there's a verse where it says, those who transgress the law of Moses died without mercy. Those who transgressed, those who broke the law of Moses died without mercy. Don't you hear the law? That's what Paul's saying. Don't you hear the law? When you pick this yoke up, you got to know it's too heavy for you. Right? Okay, Galatians. He says, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, Paul quotes this verse from Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. You know, it's interesting that, the only time that the Old Testament uses faith is in that one verse in Habakkuk. One time. And he talks, when the Lord tells Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. And what God did was, he told Habakkuk, because they were so disobedient, he says, I'm sending another nation to get you. Because everybody was, they were doing their own thing. They weren't keeping the law. And he says, I'm going to send the Chaldeans to get you. But he also says, but I will deliver you too. That's God's grace. Even back here, he was long suffering to them. But he says, but I'll I'll also come to deliver you. And he told Habakkuk, he says, the vision will not tarry. He says, but the just shall live by faith. Those people who look for deliverance, they had to believe God. The people who waited for deliverance. That's why Paul quotes this verse. He's saying, the people who wait for deliverance, they have to wait for God. That makes sense? He said, you have to, if you're looking for deliverance, you have to wait for God. The just shall live by faith. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. Why? Why is the law not of faith?
Because it's a work.
Okay. You're trying to control.
It's a deed.
But the deliverance comes from where? If you can keep the law, look at Hebrews. Hebrews verse
12.
Hebrews is to the right.
What chapter are we in?
Look at 7. I don't think that's the one. 7. Actually, you can look at 7, 8, 9, and 10. 7 verse 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. He said the law, it had to be removed because it was weak and unprofitable. For the law, verse 19, made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. That's not the verse I want. Look at verse 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second.
What number was that?
8:7.
Oh, 8:7.
For that first covenant had been faultless. What's the first covenant?
The law.
If the first covenant had been perfect, then no place should have been sought for the second. For finding fault with the law. Didn't say that, did it? It said, finding fault with what?
Yeah.
With them. Saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. What was wrong? What was wrong with the law?
He couldn't do it.
Couldn't make him go back on righteous.
Why couldn't it?
It had no power.
It wasn't.
It had no power?
Because the flesh was weak.
The law, you know, I hate to keep jumping around. Look at 1 Timothy and then back to Galatians. You don't hate to keep jumping around? Oh, I don't? If I did, I would stop doing it, right?
It was 1 Timothy.
1 Timothy chapter 1.
That's back, right? That's it. That's 1 Timothy, okay.
All right. Okay. Verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, Paul's saying that there's nothing wrong with the law at all. Look back at Galatians. Galatians chapter 3.
Actually, compared to today's laws that we go by, man's laws, this is a real simple 480 laws where we got maybe 4 million laws or something, which we don't even know what they are.
Well, chapter 3, look at verse... We're just going to drop down.
Who are we going to?
Chapter 3, verse 21.
Where?
Galatians, I'm sorry.
Back to Galatians.
Is the law then against the promises of God?
Nope.
God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have what?
Been by the law.
But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that what?
Believe.
So he says, if there had been a law that could have given life, then righteousness would have been what? All right. This is what he's saying. He's saying, he says, if there could have been something that you today, If there was something that you could do to be saved, then God would have said, do that. If there was something that you could do to be saved, God would say, do that.
And he did.
There would be no need for Christ, right? He'd say, well, all you need to do is this. And then you'd do that and you'd be saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that you can do to be righteous, so he had to put you in a position.
Which is why the law wasn't about our behavior, it was about for us to finally say,
right, I cannot meet this performance standard. All right, with that in mind, Romans 8, and we're not going to go back there again. Romans 8.
We're not going where again.
I was trying to, stop flipping so much. Romans 8.
I'm there. I'm waiting on you.
8:2.
I like that verse 22 back in Galatians 3.
All right.
The promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given. Not worked.
Might be given to them that what?
Mm-hmm.
Back to, given, gift. Grace, not works. It's a wonder how, but people don't get this because they don't read Paul's letters. They don't spend time in Paul's epistles. That's why they don't get this information. They just read through it. They lift a verse out and then you can make it say pretty much anything you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been at it a long time. So it has to be given to you. And if there was a law that could have given life, then it would have done it. But it can't, so it has to be given by Jesus Christ. 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. You know what that is?
Jesus Christ.
If you have the Spirit, you have life. And it has made you free from the law of what?
Sin
and death. The Galatians had that. If they believed, they had that. They didn't work on it. They didn't work up on it. They had it. The moment they believed. For what the law could not do. What is that? What could the law not do?
Save you.
Couldn't give life. Couldn't save them. What else?
Couldn't bless them.
Couldn't bless them.
Couldn't make a man righteous.
Couldn't make a man righteous. All that.
Couldn't bless them.
Well, what's wrong with the law?
Nothing if you adhere to it.
Nothing if you adhere to it, but they couldn't. And this next part of the verse. He says, for what the law could not do. And the reason why it couldn't do it, because what? In that it was weak through the flesh. Whose flesh?
Our flesh.
Anybody who wanted to get under it. Right? He says, it's weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So when you read through the Old Testament, and you know what people say, the Lord, do you ever notice, like, when you go through, especially the book of Matthew, you'll go through, you can't go two chapters. Well, you can go through, there's always the things that Jesus did. They don't know, people don't know that it's all in the Old Testament. Well, even he it's prophesied. Everything that he does, places he went. And when he goes through and you get to a certain stretch in the gospel, and it'll say this, and he did this that it might be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And he did this that it might be fulfilled. And he did this that it might be fulfilled.
I thought you weren't going to bring up being in possession.
What?
That it might be fulfilled. Oh, well.
But that's one of them. So, but.
You lost me.
He's you can imagine now he's going through. Why is he doing this? He's going through the Gospels and he's doing everything that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be filled full, that it might be completed. Right? And he goes all the way through the ministry, through his ministry, and he gets to the end, and then he says what?
It is finished.
It is fulfilled. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Right? That's what he said. I finished the work.
I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
I finished the work.
Alone.
That you've given me. Look, he goes through from the very, his mother offers a sacrifice for him. She offers a sacrifice for herself in her uncleanness. He's circumcised the eighth day. He's presented in the temple according to the law. He's subject to his parents. When he went back, subject to his parents. He's at 30 years old. He begins his ministry at the time, same time a priest is to begin their ministry. So he goes through and then he begins to talk about all these things that are fulfilled. This is fulfilled. Then he gets to the end, and everybody could look at him and say, I don't see nothing wrong with him. I don't see nothing wrong with him. And he does all that, and then people, and he's baptized, all this stuff. So when he gets through, and people go back and grab that and says, "That's our example." And no, it's not. It's not your example. He's doing that for a reason. This verse says what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. What?
Sin.
You know what? He got to a certain point in the ministry, and he said to the Jews around him who had been watching him, he said, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" And he says, what you got on me? Anybody? Nobody. Nobody could. They couldn't touch him. When he got to the end, they says, even the thief on the cross, he began to ridicule him. And this man says, "What are you doing?" He said, "We suffer aright, but this man has done nothing amiss." Didn't he say that? Pilate, he says, I find no fault with this man. Didn't he? People stand around the centurion, he says, "Surely this must be the Son of God." Didn't he? So when he's finished, he looks around and I said we're gonna flip. One more flip. Look at not one more flip. I won't say that. I won't say that, Steve. Look at John. John chapter, I believe it's 20.
Chapter 20.
Yeah, chapter. John chapter 19. John 19:28. All right. This is that he's being crucified. After this, Jesus, read that verse. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel of vinegar, full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now that's, you know what, just little details like that, I love that. Because what he's doing is it's like he's running this mental checklist.
He knows everything that is written about him.
How does he know everything that's written about him? Because he's the one who had the checklist, right? He's on the cross. And not like, I'm just saying this because that's the way we think. He's thinking, okay, did I get everything? Am I forgetting anything? And he looks, and he says, okay, that's done. And he says, "Now I got two more things to do." And then they do it. And he says, "It's finished." And he says, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He did it. They didn't kill him. He knew when all things were fulfilled, he says, "I'm done."
Well, you know, he said that he came to fulfill the law of the prophets. He didn't come to abolish but fulfill.
That's right.
So he fulfilled the law.
So we don't have to try to. He did.
Say it again.
So we don't have to try to keep the law. He did.
Why? Why don't we have to do it?
Because Christ did.
How he did all of it, didn't he?
Right.
That's why he said to condemn sin in the flesh. What he did was lived a perfect, righteous, sin-free life that he might impute it to us. Mm-hmm. Imputed to us. That is, everything that was attributed to him, he says, I tell you what, I'm going to give it to you. That's right. That's right. But if you don't realize what he's done, you know what you would do? You would try to do some of that stuff. And he's sitting back and he's like, don't you know what I went through to give you this?
Even though we know it, we still try it.
You don't know it then.
Well, we know.
He's saying, don't you know what I've went through to give you this? You know what that's like? That's like somebody pulls up in your driveway, parks a brand new car in your driveway and said, I know your car was having trouble. This is yours. You do whatever you want to do with it. Here go the keys. There you go. And you get out, go get in your raggedy car and drive to AutoZone and start buying parts.
Thank you.
You like the AutoZone?
That's a good analogy.
So, and somebody would say, why are you trying to fix that? Why? Why are you? He just drove it. He just gave you a perfect, spotless, new, no defects. You should be enjoying that car. But no, you want to, I got to get this running. I got to get this. You know what? I would drive it right to the heap.
You don't believe it.
And get out. You don't believe it.
Is that right?
You don't believe it. So, he said, okay, back to Galatians. And he says, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And we just talked about that. He did all that for who?
For us.
He did all that for us. And when Paul talked about Christ being evidently crucified among them, you know he covered this much better than I'm covering it. So when he left the Galatians, you better believe he thought, you know what? They belong to God. They got it. They got it. You would think that, right? So you can, when he says, I marvel, why would you trade this in? Why would you trade this in? Why would a man trade this in?
If he had any sense, he wouldn't, would he?
That shows you how powerful religion is, or how most people don't believe what they hear. But he said that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He not only took the law out of the way, and the curse of the law, but he also imputed to us his righteousness. So we become blessed, like the Galatians, he said, we become blessed with Abraham by what? By faith. We become an heir just like Abraham, by faith. Because God has put us in a position through our faith to become what? An heir. And we are an heir because we're righteous. All this is a package deal. Now, the only problem is this. When Paul talks about the inheritance, I won't say the problem, He's not talking about Israel, the land.
When
he's not talking about when Abraham was looking for what?
City.
In Jerusalem. But when Paul's, when he's speaking here, the inheritance, this inheritance, it's changed. It's changed. Now, back to what when I said it, when I first said it, when I came in, was what we think about is we have to look at this, the big picture. And you know, I thought about was the army. I said this before, but I think this is a good example. When people go to the military, the military is anybody could try for it, right? When I say try for it, you go through basic training, right? Mm-hmm. It's free. You go to the military and you go to them. They said, this is who we are. United States military, whatever, army. And you go there and they say, you want to be a part of this? You said, yes, I do. That's great. You go in. First thing they do is
break you down.
Well,
qualify you or disqualify you.
So what will qualify you for God's family?
Belief.
So the minute you get in, you're in. So, okay, say now, you qualify to get into the military. The first thing they do is they says, that those there, take all that off, put it in this bag. We don't want you. You're not a civilian anymore. So you take them off. They put it in the bag and get rid of them. They give you your clothes. They give you your socks, your shoes, your toothbrush, your blankets. Everything you need, they give you.
They do. They send them home.
Oh, they do. That's not that I've been there, but I've had family members who've done it. They give you everything that you need. And then they do what?
Give you the
rules. Huh?
Give you the rules.
They give you the rules? Well, I'm not so... They train you. Wonder why they do that.
They want you to think their way.
They want you to think their way? What else? Why would they want you to think their way?
Strengthen. Build you up so you know not only what you're doing, but why you're doing it.
Not only what you're doing, but why you're doing it. So they, what they do is renew your mind. Think about this with God. Oh, see, he said brainwash you. Thank God, Michael. Thank God. When God gets you in his family, first thing he wants to do is renew your mind. Right? So this is what this is. It's a renewing your mind process. Why do they want you to? Because they want you. What do they want you to do?
To do what they say.
They want you to do what they want you to do.
Whatever they tell
you. So God says, renew your mind that you might prove or do what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he wants you to do the same thing too, through a renewed mind. So they train you to do what they want to do, so you can say that he's done what? He served his country well, right? And God wants you, he wants to be able to say the same thing, that what?
Serve God well.
You served me well. Well done, thou good and
faithful
servant. Matter of fact, you know what the Marines say? Always faithful. So we have to, when you think about this, when Paul gives this information to the Galatians, that's what we talked about in another gospel, is the minute they were presented with another gospel, that threw this whole process off. Through the renewing of their mind off, So they couldn't do what God wanted done. They wouldn't be serving God. So Paul has to go back and he has to start all over again. Matter of fact, he started back at faith.
That's what they're based on.
He started back and says, that's like a guy going AWOL in the military. Where he, you know what, he starts off and all of a sudden he disappears. And they said, well, where did he go? You don't know. So they go find him and they say, hey, you know you belong to the military, don't you? And that's where God says, you know you're mine. That is, if everything went right, you know you belong to me. But the only thing about in the military, they might discharge you. Dishonorable discharge. But the thing, what I'm getting at is when you look at the Galatians, this whole, and I think I said this whole process is like stepping stones, stairs, where it builds up. It's like it progresses in the information that you get to prepare you for service. That's why you don't jump way over in Ephesians and Timothy's without knowing what happened in Romans. Because, for example, he'll drop something down. Watch this. I'm just going to read this. Look at Romans 8. Well, before you do that, when he says that chapter 3, verse Galatians, chapter 3, verse 18. Okay. So he says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So if you just picked up and you never read anything, you pick up Galatians and you read Abraham has an inheritance, and we do too, you wouldn't know what to think about, would you? Would you?
You get that letter in the mail.
You wouldn't know. See, you, case point, you wouldn't know what to think about. But look, when Paul begins his epistles, he does this. This is not the first time he said that. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8, look at verse 14. I didn't want to go back that far, but he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the
children
of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now he doesn't, if you're an heir, then you know you have a what?
Inheritance.
So he's dropping these little things to build on as he goes along, so it won't sneak up on you. That you have an idea of what he has for you. And I'll just quote this verse. When Paul is in Acts 20, he says, I have not shun to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And we talked about that. And he said, but I'm leaving. He says, and some of you, he says, you may not see my face again. And I'm paraphrasing that. He says, but I commend you to the word of God, which is able to build you up and to give you. Anybody remember that? An inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith. So, but I know that's when we read these letters, you have to look at it as preparation, that he's preparing us to not only know what he's doing, but to know how we ought to serve him. It's not just nice stories about Abraham, Isaac. You know, he's trying to renew our minds that we might think the way he wants us to think about this. So when you get over to Ephesians and he says this, he says, now, walk worthy of your vocation. Whoa. Vocation? What's that?
Ambassadorship.
See? But by the time you get to, if you've been following with him, by the time you get to Ephesians and he says vocation, oh, you all over that. You're like, yeah, I know all about that. Should be. Should be. Right? Or when he gets to chapter 2 and he says, you're his workmanship. And he's like, really? What's that all about? Well, if you've been walking with him and you get to that, then you already know. Like, yeah, I know all about that workmanship. Yeah. You should. But we don't. We missed a lot of information in between. So what the Galatians did, what Paul has to do is go back, fill in the blanks again, keep them on track. And that's why it's taking us so long to go through Galatians, because I'm trying to give you a lot of background.
A lot of lessons to learn.
Because there's a lot of lessons to learn. And anyway, we'll pick up next week at verse 13.
This is a manual to the Lord, right?
It's a manual to the Lord's people. Us.
I didn't realize that that's where they got their training from, is the Bible, really. The military is based on this, the good things.
It is?
Not to do and the things to do.
I didn't know that either.
Well, just listening to you, it made me realize how, you know, if you've been in the service, I mean, they do. They take over your mind and your life changes, and you stay in step.
All right. Well, let's close out with prayer, and we'll go home.